This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw and...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we are going to be writing, conceiving, coming up with our third installment of our three-part Voyager movie, The Progenitors.
Our third and final installment. So we have to tie up all of the loose ends that we created.
Are we going to do a reboot later?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about all the loose ends we leave for this one?
We're not supposed to leave loose ends.
I was going to say, I don't think we're supposed to leave
no
any
loose ends. You don't want to leave a little bit of a thread for a future movie? Just a slight possibility that there could be a future sequel?
No, because I think if we did anything like this again, we should really start again and try and be more sensible.
No, if it's more sensible, that's not us.
That's true.
So this is one of the questions I had for you guys. Are we actually writing like the final Voyager movie as if this were the last Voyager movie ever? Or are we anticipating that there will be future Voyager movies after we're done?
It's the last in this trilogy.
Yeah. But we don't want to necessarily write another one that carries on from this.
Yeah.
It would be weird, Suzanne, if part four were the last movie of the trilogy.
Are you going all Douglas Adams on us? A trilogy in five parts?
It could happen.
It's not going to happen.
They kind of did that with Star Trek V when you think about it, right?
Our listeners will be sending us, like, begging letters to stop if we try and do a fourth one.
No, that's what happened with Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. That was part four of a three-part series.
Yeah.
Is that where it went wrong?
Because they just pick up at the end of Star Trek IV, right?
They do, but...
Everybody swimming in the ocean with the whales was a good ending.
Like, it carries on purely by dint of the fact that that's what happens to them next. It doesn't really... Four still feels very much like the ending of that particular arc.
Yeah.
So I think we're ending an arc and we're not starting a new arc, but that doesn't rule out the idea of doing something else in the future. Does that make you happy?
Do we want to conceive this movie in such a way that this could be the final Voyager movie? Like, you know, if there were no more, if the studio didn't fund it, or if we... Right, or if the actors didn't want to sign on board, then it could stand on its own. It could be the punctuation mark at the end of the Voyager series of movies.
And then if there's another movie, it could just be a one-off.
Exactly.
Well, Kay, we were going to put all of this on your shoulders to do a synopsis of our first two movies, but we decided that would be totally unfair and we would take up the entirety of this episode of To the Journey if we try to give a synopsis of our last two movies.
Trying to recap everything that already happened.
Exactly. But what we do need to know, we need to know where everyone was at the end of the second movie so we know where to pick up the drama.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to assume that everybody's listened to the previous two. So if you haven't... then you should go check out our previous two episodes, which were the first two movies. But where everybody ended up is at this point, we're all back on the time ship, including the Vidians, who've popped by for a cup of tea with Starbucks guy after helping to save us from the Vardwar. Neelix has been resurrected from the dead.
Aww.
We've had our cry fest. Yeah.
Yes. After we had our little memorial service and went to his quarters to like get his stuff, apparently. That happened in a very short space of time, but we'll gloss over it. In Neelix's quarters, we found an exciting flashing artifact that we don't know what it does. And after the fact that Neelix is now back, the next thing that everybody is going to do is go back down to the planet they were stranded on, because the Guardian of Forever was in the process of cryptically telling us what we need to do next before they got beamed up by the Vidians.
See, I always want to know, why haven't they done a Guardian of Forever movie in general? For me, that's like such a cool go-to concept. Yeah. Like, if you're going to make a Star Trek movie, get the Guardian of Forever in there. That would be awesome. And no one has ever thought that was cool enough to do yet. So we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it never really gets reprised that much, does it? Except, obviously, in the animated series. We do get the Iconian Gateways later, which are a similar sort of concept, aren't they? But
not the same.
Well, they don't talk back to you.
I don't think you can travel through time with those, can you? I think they're more just space.
The final frontier. These are the... Oh, sorry.
I see what you did there.
Kate, you don't get to watch the History Channel on them.
No.
And it doesn't talk to you with snark. The Guardian of Forever has a lot of snark, which I like.
That's true. Yeah. It doesn't talk at all, does it? You just kind of pop through it like a chalk pavement picture.
Thank you, Bert.
Is that a Mary Poppins reference?
Yeah. I'm British, of course I'm going to make a Mary Poppins reference. Don't you know I talk like Dick Van Dyke?
With that Cockney accent of yours?
Yeah. Mary Poppins.
Step in time, step in time. I can't even see it.
Over the rooftop, step in time. Over the rooftop, step in time.
Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Over the rooftop, in time.
Absolutely. There we go. So, we're going back down to the planet. And of course, the last thing that we had happen in the movie was that Q jumped out through the Guardian of Forever. But they haven't seen that yet, because we only saw that as a cutscene at the end. Our crew aren't aware of the fact that Q's just shown up.
That's right. We have Q and the Guardian of Forever.
And Henry Starling.
Changeling Henry Starling.
Changeling Henry Starling, who the crew are not aware still that he is a changeling.
Wouldn't resurrecting Neelix?
No.
Because he tried to shoot Henry Starling when he was a phaser and it didn't fire.
Yeah, but he probably just thinks the phaser rifle, like, failed.
Oh, okay.
It's just a busted phaser.
Because Henry doesn't slither off to the captain's quarters until after Neelix is dead.
Oh. Okay.
So he doesn't even know either. When they resurrect him, he's kind of like, where were you?
I was
hiding in the ventilation shaft. Well, that's an interesting question. Is he going to lie to them about where he was if directly questioned?
If he wants to remain, his secret to remain safe, yeah.
That was one thing that we said at the end of the last one we were going to decide in this movie. Was he going to be actually a good guy and he'd save them because he's a good guy, or has he just saved them because it's in his interest and actually he's still working against them somehow?
I would not mind seeing the redemption of Henry Starling, personally.
Hmm.
Now, wouldn't the doctor need to, you know, give everyone an exam being back from the planet? And wouldn't that include Henry and Neelix? And then if the doctor examines him...
So the doctor's going to discover...
He's going to discover something.
That he's a changeling.
Yeah. Is he going to try and wangle his way out of that somehow, then? They're now back on the ship, and obviously they've had the whole Neelix death thing, and now the Vidians have brought him back, and now they're like, oh, we have to go back down and find out what the Guardian Forever was trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether there's time for there to be medical examinations. Neelix, yeah, because obviously, you know, he's
dead.
Now been resurrected, but everyone else...
I think it's really funny we didn't make our audience wait for another movie for the resurrection of Neelix. It was like, he's dead. No, he's not. All in the space of 5 minutes.
Thanks for that. I wanted him dead for longer.
Otherwise, we would have been accused of copying. We did an Into Darkness rather than a Search for Spock, didn't we?
Yes, that's right.
Because Into Darkness, he's only dead for like 10 minutes.
That's true.
That's right. That's exactly what happens in Into Darkness. That wasn't necessarily a strong suit.
I hadn't even thought about that, to be honest. We did it better.
That wasn't a strength, yeah.
We didn't have any red, weird stuff going on. It was all the Vidians.
So I feel like I'm always the guy playing devil's advocate in
that's fine, you carry
these
on.
Movies. So my devil's advocate is, do we have an end point in mind, right? Are we just going to dive in and kind of figure out what the next logical step is for each of these characters? Or do we, what is the end point?
Hashtag spoilers, but they are going to get home at the end.
No matter what Zach wants, they're getting home.
In the same way as the series, I don't think anybody was ever thinking, oh, are they going to get home at the end? Because if they hadn't, that would have been the most rubbish ending ever.
Yes.
No, I want them to be like the Ship of the Damned or like Odysseus lost at sea for 20 years. I want them gone, like, you know, that's part of Voyager's identity.
No.
I don't want them to get home.
I am so bored of saying this, but read the book, Zachary.
Yes.
Because they come up with a better solution to what you want. And you will get what you want, but we also get what we want. So read them.
Exactly.
All of you listeners are out there are like, Zach, read the novels already.
So they're going to get home at the end.
Yes.
And I have an idea of how that's going to happen, but we'll get to that later.
But what's so special about this new homecoming? Not the first homecoming that we saw in Endgame, but like, what is special about their second homecoming?
Oh, well, you just wait and see.
Like, what would make it special?
She's not going to give away the ending right now. We got
to
get there.
You can't write the end before the middle.
Nobody will listen to the whole podcast then. Like, oh, the ending. Woohoo.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
I am. I'm just not telling you.
Okay, you have lots of experience, but you have two-dimensional thinking.
I do not have two-dimensional thinking. It's going to be special. Don't worry.
Okay. We can do it linear. We'll do it your way.
Well, we don't want to ruin the ending.
Yeah.
Spoilers, they get home.
I think we just did.
There's other bits to the ending though. So we're going to go back down to the planet, right? Because the Guardian of Forever was trying to tell them something and they hadn't quite figured out what it was yet.
And they rudely left before they heard it all.
Yeah. So send an away team to the planet.
Are they taking this mysterious flashing artifact with them that they don't know what it is?
Somebody
yes,
has it in
I'd
their
say
pocket.
The artifact has to play a piece.
Okay.
They have pockets in Voyager?
Captain Van Damme could
this
have
is an
it.
Enterprise. Or Starling.
I don't think Henry Starling would have it. Because who would have been there? That's the thing. Because it was who went to Neelix's quarters.
I don't remember who went to Neelix's quarters.
I would say we should have First Officer Dennis Alexiou.
I was
going to
say First Officer. Shady First Officer.
Well, he's not the First Officer now.
No.
Janeway's the First Officer.
Usurped First Officer.
That's right. We had the combining of the crews. Now jaded and bitter.
Second Officer. Dennis Alexiou. Yeah, let's let the dodgy guy have it. That's going to work out well. So yeah, that happens. No idea why he's got it, but anyway. Somebody think of a reason.
Do we know what this
Maybe
object
he
is
knows
yet?
What it does.
No.
I don't think we do.
We haven't decided what it does yet.
But it has something to be useful with the Guardian of Forever. So do they use the shiny metal object at the Guardian of Forever or once they're through the Guardian of
Forever? No, I think they need to go through the Guardian of Forever and then they use it for something. But I'm assuming that Q is going to tell them what they need to do. Or at least tell them what's going on now that he's shown up.
I don't see Q telling them anything worthwhile because he's Q.
But why is Q there?
Because I wanted him there. He's there to cause mischief.
Yeah, I know that's why he's there. But what I mean is now we have to decide why he's actually there.
To cause mischief.
Structurally, though, is Q there literally next to the Guardian of Forever? Is that
he's
where
he's hiding
Q
behind
is?
He jumps a out. Shrub?
Or is maybe he's the voice of the Guardian of Forever? We could say Q is the Guardian of Forever. That would be interesting.
Ooh, he could be the Guardian of Forever.
That's what I'm saying. What an interesting idea.
That, yeah, I kind of like that.
I like that. Q is actually the Guardian of Forever.
Okay, so we scratch in that bit then at the end where he jumps out of it.
Well, he could just morph into himself and the Guardian disappears.
Okay. So when they get back down there, he's there and the Guardian isn't.
With a good Q finger snap.
This means they're going to have to jump into Q, which kind of weirds me out a bit.
I think he only wants Catherine to do that. So
I'm not quite sure what to do.
You know. He doesn't want Chakotay anywhere near that.
Privileged access, yeah.
It's a really interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea because someone has to be that voice, right? It's Q.
Yeah, but like, is Q actually the physical thing or is the thing like a kind of conduit and then he like inhabits it in order to make it into the portal? Because that kind of makes more sense, doesn't it?
We're in minutia territory. Could go either way.
Well, we've never really seen him. I mean, I guess he can make himself into any shape that he wants, but we've never seen him turn into anything other than the way he normally looks, have we?
That's true. He's not like a changeling.
Well, now he can be a disembodied voice.
We have seen him be a disembodied voice, like a voice coming out of nowhere. Yeah.
So he could be like the consciousness in the thing, but not actually the physical thing, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already like a conduit thing there, but he's kind of controlling it. Or
so we need to figure out what reason they have to go through the Guardian of Forever. What's so important that they're...
Well, they have to go fix something.
What's broken that needs fixing?
Well, this is the bit that I was suggesting slightly earlier on that I thought Suzanne might like.
Okay, I'm listening.
They have to go back and save Joe Carey.
Yes! Yes! Save
That's a good
Joe
idea.
Carey.
Why?
Yes.
I know Joe's a cool guy and all,
because
but...
he needs to do something really important and he's the only one that can do it, but I haven't figured out why yet.
Awesome. Seven of Nine needs her lunch, darn it.
Zach, don't be hating on Joe.
Maybe the artifact was Joe Carey's and he gave it to Neelix when he died. Or he left it to Neelix.
Or Neelix just pilfered it from his quarters.
Yeah, and he was the only one that actually knew what it did.
Okay.
So this is kind of like trying to put the band back together, take everyone who's been dead. Neelix, let's resurrect him. Joe Carey's dead, let's resurrect him. Yeah. This is, let's put the band back together.
Yeah, we need to resurrect Joe. Save Joe! Hashtag
save Joe.
I can picture it like, they're all standing around like, we'll save the whales. Like, save Joe,
save Joe. Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
We miss Joe.
That Joe is the only person left who speaks a dead language that like a probe needs. Joe Carey speaks whale. There you go. So, okay. I have a sort of an idea then. So we still haven't really decided what this artifact does, but as you said, maybe Neelix got it out of Joe Carey's quarters after he died, and
yes.
he didn't really know where it had come from or what it was, but he
thought
it was cool and flashy, and he's kind of a magpie, so he took it.
Neelix the magpie.
How about Joe Carey was given it by Q in the first place?
Or Joe Carey pilfered it from the caretaker.
Maybe. I was just trying to think why Q was there. I was trying to tie that in. But that could also make sense. Maybe it got pilfered from the caretaker. The caretaker's
ship.
This
is Q, right? So it could be as simple as like, hey, Joe, hold on to this, would you? It's important. Trust me, I'm Q.
I don't think you would take it then, because that seems super shady.
Oh, okay. It's like at the airport. Don't take things from strangers.
Exactly.
Right?
Dude, hold this bag for me, okay?
Okay.
But it would still need to be something that, like, they need Joe Carey to do whatever needs to be done with it, because then we know why we need to go and get him back.
Maybe it has to do with his DNA.
Maybe. Okay. I'm going back to lizard babies again now in my head. I don't really know where that's going. I don't remember Joe Carey having lizard babies.
No lizard babies.
Well, that's an interesting point. Could this shiny metal object that we don't know what it is yet have something to do with the plot point of Captain Janeway and Tom Paris being the progenitors of the Voth? We've kind of lost this interesting plot point that we started out our series with. We need to bring it full circle and have the shiny metal object have something to do with that old plot point.
Full circle. That's another book that's really good.
It needs to come full circle. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I love how that book's called that, because we get to do it every week.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we kind of left the Voth behind, didn't we?
That's right. We need to. If we're tying up plot points, we need to...
Well, we did, but then we just left them there.
Why do we need to take them with us?
Because they think that Janeway and Tom are there like gods.
Well, they are. Kind of.
Yeah, but we didn't really do anything with that, did we?
No, because it involved lizard babies, and I'm so anti-lizard babies.
It was just such a cool idea.
I think we have way too many ideas here.
Yeah, we need to like strip it back a little bit. Like either tie it all together, or we need to like focus, people. We need to figure out why they need to go through the Guardian of Forever.
Well, they're going through the Guardian of Forever to get Joe Carey back.
Okay, yes. Right. But it has something to do with the shiny metal object that we know was Joe's.
Yeah, so we need to figure out how he got it and why he had it and why it needs to specifically be him to do whatever the thing is he needs to do with it. And then Q also has to be involved in that as well somehow, I guess. Unless we're just saying that Q is just the Guardian of Forever voice.
So they know that the shiny metal object was Joe's, right? Is that the idea? Like, this is Joe's, and we have to go find Joe with this object.
Because he pilfered it from his quarters.
Yeah.
But why on earth is Neelix like, I need to go through the Guardian forever, and I need to do it with this object?
No, Q's going to tell them that they need to get Joe back.
With the object.
And Neelix doesn't need to be the one to take the object.
I don't think they need to take the object with them.
No, they just need Joe.
Oh, I had assumed they were taking the object like it's a lucky rabbit's foot. Like, gotta bring this object with me.
No, I think he needs to do something with it when he gets back. Or maybe they need to go somewhere else with it and do something.
Okay, so I was trying to think of some clever way to get the object through the Guardian of Forever in a way that made sense. Like, why do they need this object? But you're telling me I don't have to worry about
it. Don't worry about that. We just need Joe.
I wasn't thinking of doing that. We just need to get Joe back because Joe needs to do a thing with the thing.
He needs to press some of the buttons.
I still don't know why yet, but we'll figure it
out. They go through the Guardian of Forever to get Joe Carey back with the voice of Q being the voice of the Guardian of Forever.
Yep.
Through some grand reveal that's awesome.
That comes down the line.
Yeah, do we know? Maybe we don't know that yet then. But I thought we'd left that as our reveal at the end of episode. Well, the viewers know that, but maybe...
The crew doesn't.
Maybe they don't.
The crew has no idea that Q's even there. Because he's hiding behind the shrub next to the Guardian.
So if they're going through the Guardian to find Joe Carey, what time period do they go to? Like, where are they going in history, in Voyager's history, to get Joe Carey?
Right,
I'd say, like, not that long after, before he dies. Not long after he dies. That wouldn't be very helpful.
That's not going to be good.
Like, you're saying, like, a moment before he's supposed to die to avoid time paradoxes? Is that the kind of thing? Because if they go earlier than that, then they're going to create a causality paradox.
Yeah, they're
going
to have to go and try and grab him, like...
Right before he dies.
Yeah.
And throw him behind
a
rock.
Like a millisecond.
Everybody's behind things. Yeah.
Quick, throw him behind a rock. Okay, let's go.
Works for me.
Oh, no, maybe they don't have to get him before he dies. Maybe they could get his body...
And the Vidians.
And then get the Vidians to bring him back to life.
Sweet. So, like, minutes after his death, they just take him.
Well, after they've put him in, like, the torpedo casing or whatever.
Well, the we're kind of using the Vidians to fix it all here, right? They revive Neelix, they revive Joe Carey.
Hey, they can do a lot now that they don't have the phage.
They can. You'll have to remind me of this now because I don't remember from the episode in TOS, but how do they get back through the thing?
They just sort of jump back. You don't really see.
They just kind of jump into nowhere.
Is it through like a specific place, like a wall or something?
No, you don't really see.
That's what's weird about it. It's not. They just
kind of
jump.
You just see them coming back through. Yeah.
That's probably why I don't remember then.
They jump through the fourth wall. They do, literally. They kind of jump towards the camera, right? How do you know where to stand? Like,
you put a little X on the ground where you come in.
Q marks the spot.
I guess you have to remember where you came in.
Everybody remember where we parked.
Well, maybe you just click your heels three times and jump, and then you're back through.
There's no place like the relativity. There's no place like the relativity.
Yeah, is there like a Guardian of Forever manual sitting there, like, you know, attached with a chain or something you have to read before you jump through so you know where to stand to get back?
Attached with the
maybe.
Chain.
Yeah.
Like a bank pen. You can't take it with you.
RTFQ, RTFQ.
Yeah. Obviously, the whole crew aren't going to, like, go piling through there. We're only going to need, like, one or two people.
Like two or three.
Well, it has to be, let's see. No, it doesn't have to be them.
Who would go? Right. So we know Neelix is going.
Neelix doesn't need to go. He was just resurrected.
Janeway's going to insist
on Janeway and second officer.
Dennis Alexio. Yeah, we need to get him into the plot somehow, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And this is where he can reveal his shiftiness.
So maybe he does something while they're there that he's not supposed to do. I don't know what, but maybe he does.
Like somebody from the crew sees him.
Like, once he goes through the Guardian, you're saying he creates a problem that threatens all of existence?
Well, maybe.
What does he do? He messes it up big time when he gets through the Guardian of Forever. What if he's the one who kills Joe Carey? Like, oh man, we were trying to save this dude, and you killed Joe Carey.
Yeah.
What, is he like Kenny in South Park? He dies all the time?
How many times did Joe Carey die?
Joe Carey.
You bleeps! Poor Joe. Poor Joe. Yeah, he messes something up, so then I'm trying to figure out how this all is all going to fit together.
Because he's not happy with the situation that he's in right now because he's been demoted 2-second officer. So he wants these stinking people off his ship and out of his life.
So is he uncommitted and that's why he messes things up very innocently? Or is he jaded and he messes things up on purpose because he's bitter?
Like he does something to Voyager of the past.
He sabotages.
Sabotage!
He flings his sabot into the Guardian of Forever.
Sabotage, if it's Kirk. So he messes something up. We don't really know what. Why is he going to mess up?
Well, he either needs to, like, ruin the thing they're trying to get, like he does accidentally kill Joe Carey, or he needs to create some sort of causality paradox, or he needs to create a bigger problem that they have to solve, even bigger than trying to save Joe Carey.
Okay, so he goes back with Catherine and does something to Voyager to sabotage Voyager, to make them kind of not exist.
Ooh.
And then Henry Starling to the rescue.
But then if that happened, would they all vanish?
Yeah. So then Henry Starling would have to go through the Guardian.
I like the idea of Henry Starling going through the Guardian. That's an interesting idea.
Captain Van Damme.
And Dennis as well, maybe.
Well, no, because Dennis Alexio caused it, so he's got to be arrested.
Yeah, but have we got anyone left to, like...
Captain Van Damme!
Stick him in the brig. I'm assuming we have other crew on the Relativity. It wasn't just three of them before.
And there's... Wouldn't Starbucks dude still be around?
Yeah, Starbucks guy's still there.
Cosimo. Cosimo.
No, he's just Starbucks dude.
Starbucks man. Got it. Space Starbucks man.
Yeah, but like, so if we think about this, Voyager gets destroyed. But that's after Relativity, the episode, isn't it? So everything that happened with the Temporal Hoover would still have happened. So yeah, Henry Starling and Starbucks guy would still be there. That's fine. I was just checking that we hadn't like made everything not happen.
That would suck. That'd be like the whole like a whole season of Dallas and somebody was just in the shower. Oh yeah, that happened.
Reset button.
Who shot Joe Carey?
Bobby Ewing's not
who
dead.
Who shot JC?
So are we going to end up with like a time loop thing where we keep getting multiple versions of everybody going back to try and fix the problem?
Until they get it done right, yes.
It's not unlike Relativity the first time round then in a poetic kind of way.
And also kind of like Discovery.
This last week's very episode, much like Discovery, yeah, which we all enjoyed a lot. There you go, a little bit of an homage in there. So first of all, Henry Starling has to go back and try and find out what went wrong. So that he can see what he needs to do.
Suzanne has an idea. Oh, Mudd's thing had buttons and it was flicky. That could be what was in Joe Carey's quarters that Neelix pilfered.
The time loop thing.
Yes.
Joe Carey had a time loop device.
Yes. He just didn't know it. But Q knows it.
It would be a nice little nod to Discovery, assuming this takes place, you know, this movie comes out after Discovery's
over. So, right, hang on a minute. If they manage to get Joe Carey back through the thing before whatever happens to Voyager, he's still there as well? Because he's come from that timeline rather than going home and then that bit didn't happen, so he would still be there.
He would still be there.
So they've got Joe, but they lost everybody else.
They've got Joe, they've got Captain Van Damme, they've got Henry Starling.
And Starbucks guy.
And Starbucks guy.
And Dennis Alexa, and whatever the crew they've got on the Relativity.
This is like some weird alternate reality Lower Decks kind of episode. It's like everyone except the Voyager crew is going to solve the problem.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but then Joe Carey gets to save the day.
Yay, Joe Carey saves the day.
Joe and Henry save the day. How are they going to do that? So they're going to go back and try and figure out what did they actually do that destroyed Voyager? Dennis Alexio.
He could have put a bomb somewhere.
Okay.
Much like that other Relativity dude did.
Whose
name I can't remember.
So they do multiple loops of that, trying to fix everything.
Which people always like multiple loop
episodes,
right?
Time loop's good.
Yeah.
Time loop's always good. Crowds like that one.
And then eventually, they decide, obviously, Edith Keeler must die. I mean, they figure out how to fix it.
So, as an homage to City on the Edge of Forever, does someone have to die in this one? Like
Edith Keeler must die.
No, not Edith Keeler. Someone else, right?
Who Dennis has to Alexio die? Must die.
Dennis Alexio must die.
Instead of Joe.
Yes, instead of Joe. Dennis Alexio must die.
Yep.
in order to restore the balance, to save Joe Carey's life, to get Voyager home, Dennis Alexio must die.
And they're trying to convince Catherine not to save him, as they're trying to get her to come back through the loop.
Yeah, that's nice and dramatic.
Because like Captain Janeway and Dennis Alexio have a little something.
No, just because that's her character, and she would not, you know, let someone get hit by a bus or whatever, whatever is going to befall him.
Nobody gets left behind.
He's part of her brood, got it.
Yeah. So, why did we need Joe? I mean, like, we wanted Joe, but we needed Joe.
We needed Joe to use the time thingy.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have needed to do the time thingy if we weren't going back to get Joe.
Exactly.
This doesn't make sense.
And time travel episodes never do.
We need Joe to make do something specific.
We need Joe to actually be able to get back.
He's the only one who can activate the little time.
See, I had an idea of how we could get home, and it didn't involve Joe, but we...
Okay. We just needed Joe because we wanted Joe.
But then the Guardian of Forever wouldn't have not let us go home because...
But it's cute, and maybe he liked Joe.
I guess my concern about the direction we've gone here is that we have an abundance of possible causes of this situation. Not only can you take the Guardian of Forever to go back in time to save Joe Carey, you can also invoke Q to go back in time to save Joe Carey, but now you can also use the metal wrist bracelet thing to go back and save Joe Carey. Like, which of these...
Well, and also, I would like to point out, we've got a time ship.
And a time ship on top of everything. And still they've been unable to save Joe Carey. What the hell is wrong? They've got all the tools at their disposal.
Well, the reason it had to be the Guardian of Forever, I think, is because it needed to tell us that we needed to go and get Joe. So I think we need Joe for something specific. Not just the saving everybody again after they messed up the going to get him. I think we have to have him be important for something.
It's touching that they miss Joe so much that they want to go back and save his life.
I miss Joe that much.
Yeah, no, it's fine that they wanted that, but for it to be a thing that had to happen. Because this is a thing that had to happen.
They can't just miss Joe, they have to need Joe.
Yeah, so what do they need him for?
Well, what are Joe's natural strengths? Like, why do they need him so much? Why Joe? Is this a stronger line of reasoning than we just miss him and we want to put our whole crew back together? Because that's how Captain Janeway is. She cares about her crew. That's actually pretty compelling. Do we even need a reason? She wants to save the people she lost along the way. That's a cool Voyager
story. But then
why
are we going back for Joe and not everybody?
Could be everybody, but Joe and...
Do you really want to go back for Seska?
Do you want to go back for Seska? Do you want to go back for Lon Suda?
Oh, Lon Suda. But that is like way back in season 2.
Yeah. Well, it's the Guardian of Forever.
Okay, hear me out on this one, and feel free to reject it out of hand if you don't like the idea. But what if it's not all about Joe Carey? What if it is literally about trying to put the whole band back together, like save all the people they lost along the way?
Okay, yeah, that works.
So they go back for Joe Carey, they go back for Lon Suder, they go back for the dude that was killed in the cave.
The dude that was eaten by the worm.
And Lindsay Ballard.
Lindsay Ballard.
Do we have
to? Absolutely. Let's get them all back.
You don't like her.
No, I don't like Lindsay Ballard.
You don't like Lindsay Ballard?
No.
She's cute.
You are the one person I know that doesn't like Lindsay Ballard.
That episode just like came out of nowhere. It's like, really? Why haven't I seen you before?
That's what I loved about it. It was great.
Yeah, but then are we going to have to go back for everybody that died in Caretaker as well?
Yeah.
Like a subset.
Stoddy? Are we getting Stoddy back?
Stoddy and... Commander Cavett and Nameless Doctor Man.
Oh, I don't want...
How'd you like to be the one guy who's not important enough to get back?
Well, that's how Joe feels, hello.
But if we're going back for them all, we're going back for them all, I think.
Yeah, that's... Well, let's... Again, a little dramatic license. Not literally all of them, but like all the memorable ones. Like four or five big important ones.
So you'd go back for the Voyager people. What about Chakotay's people? You're just going to let them die too? Chakotay had people.
No,
the people that they lost since Voyager became a combined crew and a family.
Caretaker's going to be a busy day.
Not the ones they didn't care about because they were gone before it mattered. We're talking about after
they
became one ship, one crew.
I'm talking about the people that were on Chakotay's ship.
Oh.
That died because of the Caretaker.
We're going back for everyone.
But everyone. That'd be a long movie.
So we're going back for the Valjean, too? Chakotay gets his ship back?
I was thinking just a little bit of dramatic license. Like, take four or five people and make the plot all about them, forgetting that there ever were other people because it's a movie and we can do that.
No, just get Joe. We don't need anybody else.
Just Joe.
Just Joe.
I have just come up with a reason why we need Joe, though.
Please tell us we need one.
We know from when we did our Joe Carey episode that there's not an awful lot on Joe Carey.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could make something up about Joe Carey.
Okay.
Yeah. If we can learn something new about Joe Carey, that's awesome.
We made up he has the time thingy. So.
Maybe in the course of him being on Voyager since they picked Seven up, he became a nanoprobe expert.
Oh, I like this. I like this.
He's probed the nanoprobes?
It was like his kind of pet project that he like did some nanoprobe research and stuff.
He had nothing else to do. You know, he wasn't an engineer.
But is he more
anymore.
Of an expert than Seven of Nine is? Because we already have a nanoprobe
well,
expert.
Yeah.
Seven of
Nine. No, she's a nanoprobe maker. She's not an expert.
Yeah, like she knows how they work, but she doesn't know how they do stuff other than what the Borg use them for. Are we just down with the fact that Joe just knows more about nanoprobes than Seven?
Yes, I'm down with that.
Sure, he's studied up. He's done his homework.
Maybe he's been doing some experimentation of his own on like working with nanoprobes actually with Voyager systems.
Like he did one of those independent study things.
He did a correspondence course and they mailed him.
By subspace, all the way back to the Alpha Quadrant. You know, just submit those submit those assignments all the way back
diploma.
To Earth by subspace. Yeah, I took one of those subspace courses in nanoprobe theory.
So, Joe's like, right, what we need to do, having been filled in on the entire story of everything that's happened, he listened to our previous two episodes as well.
Yes, he did.
But this is before he died. Before he died, he became an expert.
Yeah, yeah. But right, okay. But now he's back with us in this timeline. He's going to get filled in on everything that's happened. And he's like, right, okay. So what we need to do is we need to go back to the Voth planet.
Okay.
I like that. Full circle.
Get the Voyager debris.
You mean the lizard babies?
No. The broken bits of Voyager that we explodinated in movie one.
Oh, yeah.
I see where you're going. No, I told you're saying that he's going to reprogram the nanoprobes.
Yeah, and then he's going to reprogram the nanoprobes to reconstruct Voyager.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we needed Joe.
Go, Joe. You're the man.
Because Joe is going to reconstruct and we're going to get our Voyager back.
I like where you're going with this. I can picture this side conversation that happens with Captain Janeway and Joe Carey, where Captain Janeway's like, hey, Joe, could you program those nanoprobes to make my ready room just a little bigger?
Yeah, and exactly. So there's going to be some interesting negotiation about like slight tweaks and mods and all that type of thing.
This is a chance to pimp out Voyager. Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Pimp
exactly.
My ride.
Give it a nice paint job. Make Tom and B'Elanna's quarters a bit bigger, etc.
Well, no, if it's getting a new paint job, you know Tom's going to want like flames going on the sides.
Go faster, Stripes.
Yes.
So, they managed to get Voyager reconstructed with the nanoprobes. Woohoo! We've got Voyager
with back. With the new fancy retro joystick controls at the helm.
Yeah.
Always.
Exactly. So, while all of this has been going on, Kes has been helping Tuvok with his mind thingy.
I was just about to ask where they were. I really was.
Yeah, well, there you go. We've come back round to them. So, he's all better now.
Yay, Tuvok.
Tuvok's better. Mm-hmm. Nice way to tie up the plot point.
And as a result of Kes helping him to get over his mind stuff, they now have this link. So now that we've got Voyager back, and we've got Joe back, and we fixed all the things that had gone wrong, what's going to happen is with the combined power of both of their minds, they do the throw Voyager forward thingy like Kes does in The Gift, but with the two of them doing it together with their combined brain power, they manage to get all the way back to Earth.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I like this. This is right. That's great.
But don't forget, we're still in the 29th century. I haven't quite figured that bit out.
It has to do with Henry Starling being a changeling.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I've got it. What happens to the nanoprobes after Voyager? That's a lot of nanoprobes to put an entire starship together.
Yeah.
Like, what happens to the nanoprobes when they're done?
Well, he's maybe like Henry integrated Starling. Them into the systems.
So it's nanoprobes slash gel packs. It's nano gel packs.
Nano gel packs.
Hashtag nano gel packs.
Henry Starling's after the nanoprobes. I see where you were going with that, Zach.
Yeah, well, that's his nature, right? He's looking for technology.
He wants to steal the nanoprobes and take them to the changelings.
But we were redeeming Starling.
He still wants the tech, though, doesn't he?
He likes his gadgets.
He does. He wants it all.
Well, is he still on the time ship, or is he?
Yes.
I gotta say, I do love the idea of the nano gel packs. That is an awesome idea.
Gel packs with a little nanoprobe swimming around.
It's better than cheese.
It is better than cheese. Yeah. So how do we get them back to the 24th century? That's the bit I haven't quite worked out.
Because they're not on the time ship anymore. They're back on Voyager now.
Well, they are, but then we said that Q was there, didn't we? So maybe we could have some Deus Ex Q.
Snaps his Q fingers. Well, didn't Captain Van Damme bring Voyager and the crew into the 29th century? Couldn't he just send them back?
Yeah, but are we the relativity getting pulled back to the Alpha Quadrant with Voyager as well, then?
The relativity can kind of go wherever it wants, can't it?
Well, they couldn't get back to the Alpha Quadrant, could they?
Okay, so they just got, with the combined brain power of Tuvok and Kes, they were caught up in, like, the eddy.
Yep.
Or else you'd have to go right back to get them, because you can't leave them there.
I think we... Wasn't the time part of the time ship broken? Wasn't that why they couldn't go?
Wasn't it in Starling's pocket?
Yes. He stole it, didn't he?
Yeah, he stole it so the Vaudoir couldn't have it.
So that's why they couldn't go. Well, but did he... Maybe he just happened... Maybe he'd just stolen that already.
He could.
And that's why they couldn't go back. Yeah. Go back to the Alpha Quadrant. Interesting.
So he's somehow revealed as a not-so-good guy.
Yeah, but obviously he has to give it back if they're going to get back to the 24th century.
They're going to get back to the future.
Back to the future, yeah. Okay. Did we leave anything untied up?
Chakotay and Catherine?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that bit.
Yeah. How could you?
Well, obviously, you know, we're going to have to close out with some kind of special occasion.
Yes. Excellent.
A special occasion.
Mm. Well, you said earlier on, Zach, what makes this getting home so much more special than the previous getting home?
This time they go home together.
Yeah, and we actually get to have the wedding. Woohoo!
Yes, wedding, finally!
Because they were brought together by Space Starbucks guy.
Will it take place in Venice?
Yeah.
See, it could be, I could imagine, like, either Captain Janeway or Chakotay, one of the other saying a really sappy line at the end, like, I thought our first homecoming was amazing, but nothing is like this homecoming to our new home together.
Wow, that was wordy.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
It started off really good, and then it just downhill.
Someone needs to copy edit that for me and tighten that up a little
that
bit.
Was,
so.
Yeah, it went downhill fast.
It needs to start with a coochie moya for a start.
A coochie moya. We are far from...
We have returned to the bones of our ancestors.
We're still pretty far from the bones of his ancestors. Aren't they, like, knocking around Cardassia somewhere?
Yeah, that's true. He's got a lot of ancestors.
He's got ancestors on Earth as well, though, hasn't he? The rubber tree people.
Yes, he does. Rubber
sure,
tree people.
Absolutely.
People on Dorvin.
Yeah.
So that's what makes this homecoming so special. It's...
Big old wedding.
Not just a homecoming, it's
and
a big
now
old wedding. And
Joe is there to be a page
Joe,
or whatever.
Joe could officiate.
Exactly. Oh, surely Tuvok's going to marry them. That makes sense.
I think Tuvok should be the one.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
Are we really going to end on this saccharine of a note? That
yes.
That's
yes.
how the movie ends?
Yes.
Do not question this. I need this. I must have this.
Do not question the collective wisdom of us.
As Seven would say, resistance is futile.
It is futile. Will,
yeah. Yep.
I'm pretty sure there was quite a lot in there that didn't make much sense, but then...
I'm not sure we tied up all the loose ends, honestly.
Did we leave anything untied up? I don't think we left anything particularly untied up.
Other than Henry Starling.
Other than Henry Starling, maybe, yeah.
Well, he ends up just making a bunch of money on the Nanobros, so he's good.
He goes back to the 90s.
Back to the 90s, yeah.
Maybe he just escapes with the bracelet and the
He's
nanoprobes.
Get back in time.
He starts the whole wearable nanoprobe fad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that kind of like Tamagotchis? If you don't
Nana
feed
Pro
them,
wearables?
They die.
Yeah, totally.
Henry Pratt Starling goes back to the 90s with the flashing bracelet and some nanoprobes and invents the Tamagotchi. The end. There you go.
Yes.
See, at this point, right, I know that we've been very tongue-in-cheek writing this and we've just kind of had a lot of fun with it, really. But if I'd been writing an actual story at this point and it had made a bit more sort of coherence and, like, you know, not been quite so silly. At this point, I'd be like, right, okay, so now I need to go back through it all and, like, iron everything out a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
This is just our first pass, right? This
yeah,
is not the
exactly.
finished product. Yeah.
No.
I do really like the idea of Q being the Guardian of Forever, and the mere fact of getting the Guardian Forever in a Voyager movie would be such a... I would go see that movie in a heartbeat, so...
Yeah.
There's a kernel of a good idea there, despite our tongue-in-cheekness.
Yeah, and Q does finally help them as well.
Yes. Because he cares about Catherine's happiness.
He does say, oh, you need to go get Joe. He does. And then obviously, you know, Janeway's all happy. And space Starbucks guy caters the wedding.
Yes.
Oh, does Neelix try to help?
Yes, he tries.
Oh, Leola root everywhere.
So I guess that's... Okay, so that's a further little detail question. So we do have all these other characters that are now, like, along for the ride. Like, so we can end the movie, like, with the wedding. Boom. Very saccharine, very sweet. Mm-hmm. Or we could kind of have the wedding and then have a little bit of lighthearted banter with these other characters that we've yeah. brought into the fold.
That works. Joe gets to go home to his wife and kids.
Right, that kind of thing. Exactly.
We didn't bring anyone else back, did we, no?
Cass.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, we didn't bring any of the dead people back. But Cass, yes. No. Neelix, incidentally.
Neelix. Cass.
I'm sure this is my own fault, and I'm probably a little unclear on this because I wasn't paying attention. But what happened to all the crew of the Relativity?
They're still there,
way.
But they've went about their merry way. But why have they not prosecuted Janeway now?
Because she got Joe, and Joe saved everybody. So they're letting it all slide.
She fixed it. They let her, yeah, they just looked the other way. Slap on the wrist.
Because somehow it's revealed that, I don't know.
Maybe it was Dennis Alexio that was the one that wanted to prosecute her.
Yeah.
He advocated for her?
Dennis Alexio was the one that wanted to prosecute her, and he died, so no.
And Captain Jean-Claude Van Damme was like, that's okay. It's chill. He's out, you know, at the gym working on his abs and his biceps and stuff.
Captain Van Damme was like, well, you didn't actually destroy the fabric of space and time, so we're good. We're
yeah,
good here.
Yeah, we're fine.
Don't we'll do it again, it but we're fine.
Plus, you know, I don't want to have to deal with any more time rubbish with you, so off you go and just don't do it again.
All that space paperwork, you can go.
Yeah. I'll have to put you in temporal jail. There we go. The end. Credits roll.
The end.
Yay! Wedding!
And they all lived happily ever after.
I'm not sure we've really upped our movie writing street cred.
No.
But we did have a fun time wrapping up our Progenitors series.
Well, sometimes, you it know, was the fun. Third movie in the trilogy isn't all that great, but it has its moments.
And it had a really good ending.
Yeah
this is the search
can
for
I
Joe.
Can I say Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Or the search for Spock. This is like the Progenitors 3, the search for Joe.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, the funnest thing about doing this whole thing has been kind of visiting all these little ideas from all different bits of Voyager and, like, pulling them all in together. That's what I've liked most about doing it.
It was quite a mashup.
Yeah.
I would say.
It was quite good. Like, what episode can we pull a random thread in from now?
I think we can count on all of our listeners to point out the plot holes.
Please do. It'll be fun.
Plot holes. Look, we have created a movie string vest of plot holes, so...
We have created plot Swiss cheese.
Do not fall into the holes!
Multiple, many. We are under no illusions as to the fact that this is...
Ridiculous.
Quite a ridiculous
farce.
Thing, but we had a lot of fun doing it. It's a piece of farce, there you go. That's a genuine genre.
This is more like a plot colander.
Yeah. So I don't know whether we're going to, you know, do a lot more writing because we just can't make it be sensible.
Well, we have three distinct ideas. I wanted to see everybody happy. Zachary just wanted everybody lost forever.
I wanted everyone lost in space forever. Yep.
Yeah. Kay wanted something in between both.
Mm-hmm. What I love about Voyager, I love many things about Voyager, but one of the things I love is the cool sci-fi stuff. I like time ships. I like nanoprobes. Yeah. I like Voyager does all kinds of cool, wacky sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
I love the idea of mashing up the Guardian of Forever with the nanoprobes and Q and getting it all in there and making it all come out at the end of the day. That's great. Pot. Only Voyager could get away with a movie like that.
We respected canon.
Yes, we did.
We did, but I guess my point is, it sounds ridiculous on paper, but Voyager could get away with it and it would be awesome.
Yeah. Because they do it with a smile and a flourish.
Yes, everyone laughing at the end. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Raise a glass.
Roll the mustache at the end, exactly.
Yeah. Janeway has to do some kind of speech at the wedding, surely.
Would she really give a speech at her own wedding?
Yes, because it's Janeway. She can't help herself.
That's true. Everyone's gathered. I must speak.
Exactly.
This could be way off base, but she could be like giving her vows to Chakotay. And she's like, we're now one crew, Chakotay.
Thank you, Dadpool.
Thanks, Dadpool.
Well, you guys, it's been fun creating plot holes together today, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
For an opening episode to get that relationship, like you could see that that crew really had been working together for 7 years, which is so wow. Not normal for a launch, for a first episode, right? Because you've got the odds, but they seemed to be have working forever together. The camaraderie that they had, the trust that they have with each other.
To the journey!
And then, you know, they're all up on the bridge and everyone's like, oh, what's B'Elanna doing with her day off? And Tom's like, oh, she's binge-watching Bill Nye. She's been there, you know, in her PJs since 8 o'clock this morning.
I can picture she's been watching Bill Nye all day. Tom comes home and she says to Tom, you know, Tom, have you ever thought about wearing a bow tie?
But if he's on the bridge and says all that, would Captain Janeway know who Bill Nye the Science Guy is?
Yeah. It's Janeway.
The 602 Club.
So I graduated from high school in 1984. So this film came out in my, sophomore year in high school? So that was like prime formative years for me. This is, you know, this and Mad Max were the R-rated movies that me and all of my friends wanted to go see.
Meta Treks.
It knows to point that out and say, that's red. You know, it will correctly identify the red shirt as red, but really perceives it like we perceive blue.
I knew Kirk should have wore his green tunic when he went to fight the Gorn.
Yeah, it would have made all the difference.
It would have made all the difference.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on the iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek.fm show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Zach, when you're not taking the correspondent nanoprobe course with Joe Carey, where can our listeners find you?
I'm teaching the course. What are you talking about? Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there. And you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And Kay, when you're not wearing your time travel slap bracelets, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Oh, I remember those. That takes me back so much. I feel like I'm seven again. Marvelous. You can always find me in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle there is ChocoWeeble. So, Suzanne, when you're not starting a cake fight at Jane Range Cote's wedding, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me eating cake, as usual. But no, you can find me in the Babel Conference, popping up here and there. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you would like to help us to keep all of our shows coming to you every week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you can get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute the shows each month, and we really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope that you will join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, we have some people that we would like to thank. The first one being our very own Joe Carey, because we couldn't have done this without him. The founder and publisher of Trek.fm, C. Brian Jones. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager. And Brandon Shamatella, our Patreon manager. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we will be pimping out Voyager with nano gel packs. But until then, this has been To the Journey.